Morning, Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Welcome back. First day of class for many schools, adding to the list. And I think when we get to Tuesday of next week after the Labor Day holiday, all schools will be back in session. And you know what happens when you get the kids together in a classroom? It's like a Petri dish. You know,
they just, so true.
And they bring home.
Spoken like a parent who's had a few at school.
So the first day of school for Moon Area, Neshanic, Riverside, Yauk, Duquesne City. Welcome back, and we're here for you. And we're going to start there in the classroom, mixing it up with Dr. Kevin Wong, who is a family physician who we have known for many years in the Gannett area and all over, really. And at one point was the head of the association in the state of Pennsylvania. Doc, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
This is typical, right? When all the kids start mixing it up in the next few weeks, then they bring it home. And a lot of people have, at very least, some sniffles here and there.
Oh, I think you already heard this morning there's been outbreaks of hand, foot, and mouth disease in the region. So that's one of the viral illnesses that you'll see around the school-age kids, and obviously can spread it very quickly before they know they're sick.
What exactly is hand, foot, and mouth disease, Doc?
It's a viral illness, and it's spread by kids coughing or getting those little viruses out there, and you pick it up in their hands, they get it in their mouth, and they eventually get a typical viral illness, but they may have a rash on the sole of their foot, palm, or blisters around their mouth. So that's jokingly why they used to call it hoof and mouth disease, but it's hand, foot, mouth disease, and self-limiting, but again, can spread through close contact, which would be school buses and school children getting back to school right now. So again, common sense, watching it, keeping kids away when they can't wash their hands as well as they should. They should stay away from other people. That's all.
Yeah, I'm curious to know, Dr. Wong, is there a treatment or is this something that you have to let it run its course?
It has to run its course. It's symptomatic treatment, usually with Tylenol, ibuprofen, and usually it's gone within a week or 10 days. But again, it's going to spread through wildfire if you haven't had any immunity to it. That's all.
Doc, as a family physician, you will start to see, and probably I've already heard people concerned about the flu season coming and the controversy over whether they get a flu shot or not, or when do we get one, and what about a COVID booster. Kind of walk us through this, what you're hearing and what you recommend.
Well, I think, you know, the government has always talked about annual flu shot, and people think annual means it lasts a year, but it's just that they come up with a formulation as a best guess to cover what they think will happen for the year. And why do we use flu as an example? Flu really affects us. We have somewhere between 200,000 to 700,000 hospitalizations every year, with somewhere between 10,000 to 50,000 deaths a year from flu. But it's not just the flu. It's, if you get the flu and you get sick enough, you may end up with pneumonia or heart attacks, and that's why so many people end up sick, hospitalized, and may die. Obviously, the greatest risks are the elderly or the very young, and that's why they made a very simple recommendation that anyone above 6 months of age should get a flu shot. Yes, they are not 100% effective, and that's what people have to understand. Just like any immunization, they vary from year to year, but on average, depending on the age range, it's anywhere from about 30% effective to about 55% effective. But they do help cut down severity and possibly the extent of disease, and therefore cuts down how much you might spread it to somebody else. Timing of flu shots is important because I said, even though they consider annual flu shot, they really only last a good 6 months. And that's why I personally get upset when I see them push so early, like August, because a lot of the chains get their stores early and they want to use them as fast as possible. But realistically, people in this area should not get their flu shot until just before the peak of when people are mingling, which is the holidays, because the flu shot will last only 6 months. And our peak of flu in this area is actually February, March. Yes, you may see it start early, such as when people are mingling at Thanksgiving. But again, it will not peak in this area usually typically till February, March. So if you get it too early, it's going to be gone by then. The other thing that's key about flu shot is it takes about 3 weeks to be fully effective. So you can't just get it the week before Thanksgiving and hope you'll be protected. That's why my suggestion is usually end of October, early November, unless we hear that we are really getting an early flu season.
Dr. Wong, I'm curious about the effectiveness. You said around as much as 50%, sometimes around 30% effective with this. Is that because they're trying to predict which strain of the flu will be circulating most?
Yeah, I mean, it used to be very easy to predict the flu strains because years ago, flu only spread continent to continent slowly, mainly by boat travel. Now with jet travel, people can be in Europe yesterday, can be in Maine, part of America today, and they could be in Hawaii tomorrow or Southeast Asia next day because of business travel and flight crews. So you can literally be around the world spreading what you picked up in a disease halfway around, which never happened before.
That said, curious, what about COVID? Are you seeing COVID cases? And what's the new protocol when you know you've got it or somebody has it?
Well, we are still seeing COVID. I mean, in the nursing home population where I treat, I definitely have seen it flaring up, which means it's being brought into those people by the workers or family members who are young and in the community. We've not seen quite as much in the office setting right now. But again, we're still seeing it come into the nursing home on a pretty regular basis over the past few weeks. So new COVID shots may be out, but we're seeing such a dichotomy of who wants to get it, who doesn't. And realistically, those at greatest risk probably should get it, but it's going to be individual to make that decision. And this is the biggest thing, that people should respect people's choices to either get immunizations or not get immunizations, because they don't know what someone is going through. They don't know if they have a family member who's at great risk. They don't know if they're around a parent or grandparent that they have to care for, so they have to be very protective of that bubble. They don't know if that person may have a child that's had cancer or is at great risk because they're going through chemotherapy. So respect people's decisions about immunizations, but more importantly, respect people's personal space. If you know you're not feeling well, you shouldn't be coming to work and being in close contact with people. You should be making sure you are washing hands, potentially using face masks. I know people don't like that, but you know, people need to respect each other's circumstances and their personal space, especially if they're not immunized.
Dr. Kevin Wong, always appreciate your contributions. Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. So there you go, Paul. There's a lot to digest, though, but when the kids go back to school, this all kind of kicks in here over the next few weeks.
Right. The vaccines for me to